I really dig that part. It was really great, you know, storytelling from you guys' end. Hey guys, this is Sugar Brown. Welcome to the Sugar Crave Show. I have special guests this week. A good friend, Marcus Lorenzen, fantastic director. He actually directed Chess Game music video for Uncle Simba and myself, and his partner, his DP, Coco. They just killed it with that music video. And so I always kept in touch with Marcus. Back and forth, you know, he would check out my music and I would check out his projects. And a couple months ago, he was just like, hey, I'm working with this Chicago artist by the name of Parker Bailey from Runner and Bobby. And he's like, stay tuned. And I love his stuff. I was just big fan ever since he did, you know, those documentaries of the skateboarders in the UK. And just, I love his visionary of what he can take with certain topics, especially Chess Game. Chess Game, he killer. And so when you brought up this project that he did with Parker, it was amazing. He sent me the link. He's like, here, it's out. I checked it out and it was just fucking amazing, dude. I love the beautiness of it. Parker with his music, it felt so perfect with the music video. So it's for me, I love when music can put you in situations, or it can have you, you know, almost have a dream of what it could be. And I think Marcus and Coco pretty much nailed it on this one. So I got a chance to sit down with them, talk to them about, you know, their, like, how they started, how they met, and it was such a great interview. So here it is. I'm just glad you guys get a chance to talk to about this project, because I'm so into it, man. I was really just analyzing for Marcy. I was just like, musically, because I don't know if you guys seen my other videos, I'm just so like analytic when it comes to music, and just like what's the depth of it, not just the whole production, but even painting a picture, right? So when I was working with Marcus with Chess Game, we were trying to come up with something with Joseph, and just like the way that we were trying to paint that song. So I can definitely see how you guys kind of came up with this idea for the music video.
Mm-hmm. Well, good question. Can you hear me? Like, does it sound muffled? Because I have my AirPods in.
Yeah, a little. A little bit, yeah, okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, okay, I'll take them out.
Just kidding.
Yeah, it sounds like shit.
But, I mean, it's just you
know? No, but no, I would just want to kind of pick your guys' brain. How did you guys first meet? I know you guys did a visualizer, Marcus, for Stellar, right?
Yes, yeah, okay. Yeah.
That was sick. I was like, I know since you were talking to me, we're talking about that documentary of the skaters in the UK. And so when I was checking out Stellar, I was like, man, this is so dope to have, you know, a track that kind of has almost like, you know how when you listen, like watch skater videos, it's all like punk rock, you know, Sex Pistols, kind of like, you know, New Range. So it was really cool to have, you know, your style, Parker, to be in that kind of music video, and it's a little bit slower pace, and it just has a different vibe to it, which I fuck with. I think it's like almost kind of like old school LA skater vibe, you know, like some sense in that.
I've always admired about Parker's music, and I've always told him this, is that he captures youth really well in his sound and in his lyrics. And there's always been this sort of, coming of age, sort of a John Hughes type vibe in his music. And I think it just only made sense at the time to just scramble some old past footage that I had shot and put it together over his. And I think even though it is slower, it still works with the pacing of it, because it's about youth. And I think the visuals kind of complement that sound that he created.
I definitely think it was so cohesive with that.
That was the first thing he sent to me. So Marcus and I met like way back I don't even know, it's probably a year at this point, right? Or I don't even know, but he messaged me on Instagram saying like, hey, what's up? I'm a filmmaker. And then he sent me a bunch of his work and we were kind of just talking it up. And that was the first thing you sent me, I think. Or is that the first thing? Or was it the...
I think it was, I messaged you and I just said, hey man, love Fall for Her. And you went, thanks. And then I thought that was going to be it. And I can't remember how you watched my stuff. I might have just drowned it in you, like spammed it, probably. But I like to think that you just came across it. But I think, yeah, you watched the Skate Doco and then you watched Complications as well. And then, like, good stuff. Do you think you could throw some stuff together for either Stella or it was another track that you released at the time? And I was like, yeah, I can play about with that. And then I sent you Stella and that was kind of the first visualizer, kind of sort of a collaboration we did.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was kind of the birth of the, because I love watching what people create and stuff like that. And so I was kind of just analyzing it and that was pretty much it.
Yeah. So what was your main focus to get out of for Marcy Parker? Like when it came to musically, you're just like, I really want to kind of get the sense, I want the audience or my fans to understand, like, this is what the meaning behind For Marcy is.
Yeah, so I built the song over, well, the main riff, the dun, 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 I've had that since like 2018. It's just been in my like box of stuff.
Wow.
And I had I had the chorus and I was like, well, this sounds pretty good. Like I was trying to pair it with a bunch of stuff. And I paired them, it worked together. I mean, the chorus is really cool. I don't know how much theory you're into, but I love music theory. Mm-hmm. So like you have the one and then it goes to like a major six,
okay,
which is a second dominant to the minor, to the major two minor quality. And it's basically a 2-5-1, which I think is great. But I paired it and it worked really well. And it kind of had this like eerie sound to it. And that's one thing we'll talk about later with the video is how Marcus shot it. It's one of my favorite parts. We'll talk about it later, but it's like kind of happy and kind of sad. And I don't know, it just kind of floats in between. And I kind of like, it's bittersweet, I think.
No, I think the way you describe it is it makes sense for that theme of, you know, kind of like the lyrics play, you know, you're so into this girl, but you don't know for sure she's really into you, right? Is that the sense of it? Like you, it's almost complicated. Like you just don't, there's happiness, but then there's sadness of going back and forth.
Yeah. So I don't want to dominate, but I can tell the quick kind of inspiration for the name and stuff. So I was at Lollapalooza like last year, I think. And I was on like the, I don't even remember which stage, mm-hmm. but I maybe had like some drinks and stuff. So I was just having a good time.
Right.
And I was just like chatting up this girl in the crowd and she was really cute. And she had like blonde hair, cute nose, red shirt.
Of course. Of course.
And, yeah. And then I was working up to ask for a number or a snap or whatever. And then the song started, the crowd shifted and I got like one last look at her and then she was gone. And so like the next day, it's such a like a corny thing, but like
right.
Next day I was like, damn, like why didn't I ask for it sooner? And then like, for some reason it really like, I don't know, impacted me for whatever reason.
I feel like so every man has been through that. That's been like, you've seen that one girl, you like had a glimpse and all of a sudden like the crowd like covers her and all of a sudden, forget it. You've never seen her again. You're hoping to run into her by the water fountain or where the fucking elephant ears are at. You're just hoping one day you can, you know, see her and be like, hey, I was at the main stage and I saw you and you're gorgeous and stuff. But yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
But you know, I think it's awesome that you guys had that sense and that you had that vision. You're like, you know what? Fuck, I got to write a song for that.
Yeah. And I really have these two to thank, and they can speak more about it, but I didn't have a real visual for Marcy music video wise. And that's where these guys came in.
I love how I actually did know that story, but obviously Marcus kind of put it into the video and I knew the lyrics obviously, But Mark's actually like, she was wearing a red shirt. I mean, you were also singing about the red shirt, but it's kind of also somehow that story that you just told. I love that. I wasn't aware of that. That's fantastic.
See, that's why I love that behind the scenes kind of shit. Like, you know, the thing of songwriters, right? That they can paint something like that, a visual something, right? And they can put it in a musical sense. But for you guys in the film industry, I feel like you guys have a whole nother level of visually, like, but artistically, right? You know, with the whole, I love that scene with the red drape in the back, right? It's how simple it is, but there's a, it makes, it's like a little detail to it that you're like, wow, okay, I never looked at that in a sense. You know, it's like looking at a painting. You can think of it multiple ways, but you know, the whole thought of it is exciting about it. So Marcus, how long did it take you guys to break down this music video? I know for like us with the chess game, it was like maybe a couple months prior. Was it the same kind of schedule like with the shoot?
I don't know. It was breaking it down, it kind of instantly kind of came to me, the sort of visual idea of it through the lyrics. But also, I know it, I came off the back of quite an emotional holiday with my best friend. And we got back from Portugal to London. And the day I got back, I was like, I'm really not doing anything. I was kind of falling out of love with film in a sense of I was very burnt out. Like last year, I'd done all of my, like some 7 projects, like the busiest year I've ever had. Some were okay, some were better. You know, it was a lot of up and downs. And so I was kind of just like, I just don't want to do anything until I really feel like I'm connected to something. And I actually feel it kind of more quality, more moving to quality over quantity. And I got back and the next day, I was like, I'm not doing anything. So I just kind of took the day off. I was watching Normal People, which is a brilliant show. And I was falling in love with it. And then by like 6 p.m., it was pretty dark here. And I had just finished an episode, like one of the, towards the end of the series' episode. And Parker messages me and goes, hey man, just completed this mix. Not the final version yet, but kind of closer to what we're at. And I was like, part of me was like, no, I don't want to work. I don't want to do anything. I was like, I kind of also want a cigarette. So I'll go through to my bedroom. So I'm having a smoke. I put my headphones in, I'm listening to it. And like halfway through the song, the lyric, you know, from, you know, Marcy, I feel kind of special blue for you. And when I heard that lyric, I instantly thought, yeah, I have to do this. I don't know why it strikes me in a way that I haven't been felt before, but it instantly was like, yeah, you have to do this. This is it. And from in the space of 5 minutes, I was from like, I'm not doing anything to, okay, fuck Coco, where are you? We need to get this in planning now. So I messed back and I go, mate, this is the one, let's do it. And then 2 hours later, I was on a meeting with Parker, getting it rock and rolling. And I, yeah, from a visual standpoint, I was clearly seeing kind of golden hour filmish, what, you know, all that kind of sort of aesthetic, but I wanted it to be much more deep than that. And I try to get that across with Coco a lot. And I think those opening stages of planning, and Coco can speak on it as well. It was very, it was very in depth of like, what are we trying to say here? What is the meaning? What are we trying to show to this audience? And what are we trying to do differently? Because a love story is so, you know, so saturated. There's been so many love stories.
Right.
And I never, you know, I never really connect to any of the characters I watch on screen, maybe only 2 films, but especially in music videos, I never connect to any characters. So the main goal was to make something that was authentic and actually felt real as much as possible and feel like we're not just watching a music video, but we're watching a short film. I think we kind of nailed it in that aspect.
Yeah, it definitely had a sense of a short film. Like, it made me want more of like chapter 2 of like coming back for Marcy. Just like something, but
okay, yeah, another song, please.
Okay, right.
Just to deliver, then we can do our jobs.
Listen, you know, speak of the devil, Coco, how stressful were you on this music video? Because I know you have a important role, right? You're the second hand man. You almost have to lead the crew when, you know, Marcus is just dealing with the, you know, that actors and stuff like that. Like, how stressful can it be sometimes on set?
Well, it depends on what you're talking about. Whether it's the prep, which is like the whole pre-production, which first started in January, as Marcus said, with a voice note that he texted me, and it was like New Year's Eve, or like just after New Year's. I was in Austria with my family. He sends me that voice message, and I think I didn't open it straight away or something, and it was like 1 o'clock at night or something. Uh-huh. I was walking in a park, and I was like, ah, I should listen to that voice message. And I listened to the voice message. I think it was like a 3-minute message. And he just went, dude, like, I just got this amazing song, and I really feel for it, because I just went through kind of the exact same thing. And he really feels for all the lyrics, and that just, for me at least, like, what came across was a more personal approach to the whole thing,
right,
and less an approach of him being able to just achieve a really nice music video, but also achieve something that is personal to him. Or at least that's what he was aiming for. And it was a really lovely voice message that he sent me. And I instantly went like, dude, like, let's do this. This is so interesting to have you emotionally involved in just the song itself, right? And then we did loads of prep. We talked about everything, and we, like Marcus decided early on as well, that we want to approach it more like a short film than just a music video. So we actually did more of the short film pre-production. So the first thing, or one of the first things we talked about, was literally just the emotion that we want to bring across.
Right.
And we talked about that, I think, even in 2 phone calls. Or video calls, whatever. And we had loads of different things that we talked about, and we'd never stop talking, basically. And then the set itself is always stressful, but that's just set life.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. My wife is art director, and she just fucking wants to pull her hair every day when she's on a gig. I'm just like, stressful hours and stuff like that. But it's great that you guys get it emotionally when it comes to music, right? Because sometimes film, they don't give a shit about the audio, right? Or the music. It's just really visually, which makes sense, you know? But as a musician for music videos, it's great to kind of be able to be close to the lyrics, or have you some uniqueness, some tastefulness. And I think you guys, you know, nailed in the head with this. But I want to get your guys' favorite moment of the music video. Like, let's go with Parker. Like, what's your most favorite part about it that you really endure?
Just for me to understand the question, is it favorite part of making it or favorite part within the video?
We can do two. Let's do two of them. Let's do favorite part. Okay. And your excitement moment of like the most enjoyment that you had making it. So I know Parker, I don't know if you were on set. I think were you on set for this or no?
I wasn't able to be on set. I came a couple weeks later and I got to hang with the guys and get some background. I can give you my favorite part of the video and my favorite part of making
it. Okay.
If that works. My favorite part of making it was, well, honestly, collaborating with these guys is like a blast, because they're super open and easy to talk to and stuff like that. There was one moment when Marcus and I were trying to figure out the narrative, which was grueling, because it was like you're trying to stuff so much into 3 minutes, which turned into 5 minutes. But we had a breakthrough on kind of the intro with the letter. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that came in pretty late, which is really funny. Yeah. So we were kind of bouncing off your point. In that stage, we were going backwards. The original scene, the first opening scene, was meant to be a party scene, and him leaving a party, really sad. Yeah. And I last minute to Coco's annoyance, because he had a whole lighting plan for it. But I was like, it doesn't work, we've got to change it. I do remember that.
Yeah, poor Coco. But that was
it was like 2 weeks before the shoot, just on a point for that. I mean, it all worked out, right? It's fine.
2 weeks prior, that was the change.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
And so that was a really cool moment. I think one of my favorites in the video Honestly, I love the chorus. For me, sounds different. It's the same. It's the same chorus. Nothing structurally different, but it sounds different depending on the visual. Mm. Like for me, I can't really look at it objectively because it's mine.
Right.
But for me, the first chorus feels like you're listening to the melody and the music, and the second chorus feels like you're listening to the lyrics because they are a little different. Like the lyrics are a little sadder, I guess, than the melody. And so that was really cool. When I first watched it, I was like, oh damn, okay, like that's pretty sweet. But there's so many, honestly, there's so much, but that was one I noticed. I really, really, really loved.
No, I agree with you. I think it was with music, it's great when you're able to do that audibly, but visually they, you know, you guys killed it with that moment. Like what you say, musically, you're trying to understand, cause I was going through it a couple times and trying to get it lyrically, but then musically I was like, okay, that makes, you know, it flows so well. Cause in the middle, you're trying to figure out every movie, you're in the beginning, you're trying to figure out who the fuck is who, right? What's the meaning behind it and stuff. And towards the end, you kind of get the gist of it. And then you're trying to answer questions that were in the beginning. So The way you guys did it, I think it was great. Cause you figured out, okay, this is a love story, right? And then they're having emotions in the beginning. And then at the end, there's resolutions, right? There's that breakup. There's that mystery. And you're just kind of thinking like in throughout the middle. But musically, I feel like you're thinking that way as well. You're like, okay, I get the gist of it. There's the chorus. The last chorus is here with something different. And you did have a little touch that was different. And I really appreciate that because it's not one of those songs that just, it's like you can loop the first chorus or the first verse, the first chorus, and then it'll be the same song over again. But it was really, really, really tasteful how you ended in that note. And especially the last part I love is when the guy goes in the apartment and it's like kind of like silent, right? And then it ends. And that guitar little, like, it kind of reminds me of like a classic, I'm trying to think of a film, like a Spanish film, just like they add a little guitar behind it in the back. And it's cool. I really dig that part. It was really great, you know, storytelling from you guys' end.
That's really, really kind of you say.
Parker though, cause I was very focused on the whole, you know, first, second, third act. You know, the whole structure itself and the story we're trying to tell. I didn't give a shit about post credits. And Parker was like, I can say that now.
Right.
We should really do something here. And I'm really glad I did listen to you, man, because I think that is one of my favorite parts in the whole film, is when it's over. Because it's like, it's so personal. With everyone who worked on it, it's such a personal project anyway. But everyone who worked on it, and with that, you know, you hear the window chime and the ambience from outside, and then you have the slow rifting guitar. It perfectly just kind of, you know, while everyone's names, you brought it, to, you know, on screen, you brought it to life. I thought that was really beautiful. It made it so much more personal. And I think, you know, if as the video grows, more people will see that, and it kind of adds that personal touch to anyone who's watched it, I think, which is really nice.
No, for sure. I think because some films, they just have it silent, right? Or they have like some cheesy music behind it. But it was like a kind of a lovely kind of guitar riff. That was just like, okay, you know, a sense of solution, but it was just kind of like, I wanted part two. Like, as soon as that letter slid in, I was like, okay, what the fuck's going on? I thought at first it was going to be a horror movie at the end. I was like, all right, dude, like, who's coming out of the closet going to fucking kill this dude? It's like the ex-boyfriend of Marcy or some shit. But
we were... This was our worry. We wanted to shoot some stuff on a VHS camera, but then like halfway through, I was like, "Coco, it might come across like he's actually kidnapping her."
Now. Right?
Yeah.
Which thing? I was like, "Actually, let's not do that."
So, what was your was your favorite part, Marcus, of making it?
Oh man. Well, my favorite. I'll start. My favorite moment in the whole music video itself is the moment where she realizes that she's not ready to fall in love again. as much as she enjoys his company and feels comfortable with him, she's not ready herself to go into something as fast as that.
Why did that hit you more? Is it because it just was more personable? You're like, man, I can relate to that guy.
No, it's more like, well, yeah, but also the reason why it is my favorite moment is just down to Imogen's acting. And I remember feeling on the day as well. So when she kind of comprehends that she's not ready for this, when it hits her, because it's so fast. It's like they just had their first kiss, that, you know, blah, blah, you know, cutting different, you know, moments. And then then just like that, you know, it completely changes. And I really like that sort of rawness, because that is how life is. It's not so black and white, you know, there is a gray area for sure. And I think that's what I really liked about how, you know, I remember taking her aside before we shot that and, you know, talking over with her and getting into that mindset and using examples in her own life as well. And I remember really, I mean, what you get is really the first take. I can't remember if I used the second part from something from the second take, but we only did two takes of that shot when she realizes and she looks down. And I remember being, we just kept rolling. And I remember saying to Cole, let's just keep rolling. And I remember feeling it. I remember when we cut and I just was like, fuck. Like, we were like, because I don't want to get too excited, because from the past, you know, we get a certain shot. I'm like, Coco, mate, we're going to be famous. This is amazing. like, let's just see. But now looking at it now, I can confidently say, like, yeah, I think in that moment, what I really wanted to say was, fuck, we have something here. And I've casted well. And these actors are incredible. And they embody the characters as well. And because they are the characters in that sense, the actors, they're playing themselves at points, you know, they're taking from their own, and that's what I wanted. So that's why I really loved it. And I remember talking to Coco afterwards, and Coco said, yeah, I felt that too. And even though he's so focused on so many different aspects of the camera, that hit him as well. And I think that's powerful when that can translate through the camera. So that's my favorite part. Favorite process was, I don't know, it was, I have no idea.
Because you do a lot of the editing, right? You're mostly
probably. I really enjoyed the editing aspect. I hadn't enjoyed editing like that for so long, since probably when I first started. And it was like waking up every morning. Like I had basically a good solid draft done in like a day and a half, but I just wanted to keep perfecting and fixing and adding and tweaking before Coco came in and colored. Waking up every day was just really fun. It was like getting a video game for Christmas when I was like five. Like just the excitement of playing that game every day is what I felt with editing. And I really hadn't felt that. And yeah, I hadn't felt that for so long. I think that says it all about the kind of project. And I hope that you can see the love we put into this, you know?
No, I definitely related to that. And I think that's great, because you had that excitement, because I think we all have dealt with this. We've been on projects that we're not really motivated to work on, right? We're just, there's nothing personable about it. It's just work. So I think for this, I think it affected you more because you had that feeling, right? You had that love that was like that, or, you know, you can relate to that guy, or you can relate to even that girl too, like if being with somebody but not really fully and being invested with them, you're just like, you know what, I need to back off from my personal experience.
I don't know if she was fully not invested in him. I think she is, and I think that's the kind of hint of the letter at the end. But I think it was being honest and what Parker said about losing the girl in the crowd. Because I remember asking Parker on the first meeting, I said, what does this mean to you? Who is she to you? What is this song to you? And he told me very honestly, which was, you know, just, I lost this girl in the crowd. And I really liked that sort of that line. And I thought that's a really clever analogy or a metaphor that we can put into really anything. And so I wanted to expand losing her in the crowd into more losing her in the forest, which is a scary place to be alone, I guess. So then in that part where he's running through the forest, he feels really isolated, which I think anyone can feel. So yeah, I think towards the end is my favorite part for sure.
No, yeah, I mean that was deep right there, just talking about like being alone in the woods and just in that theory of your thoughts and I think a lot of people are going to relate to this, not just musically, but visually and emotionally. And yeah,
that's the goal. That's the goal. Can I, so you continue there. I just need to change my memory card. Is that
go
right?
For it. No, we'll talk to Coco right now. Coco, what do you think?
What do I think? I'm thinking so much. No, like I was just thinking. Favorite part. There were so many things that I enjoyed in making it, and then the whole thing. I really like it. So to pick two is a bit tricky, but I think the ones I chose is actually in terms of what is in the final video is actually the same thing as Marcus just said. Mm. I'm not a fan of being like, yeah, that particular shot, because in the end it's not about shots, it's about a story. Right. And it's about several shots making up a story, and if all of them are okay and the story is really good, then all of it is going to be amazing and look amazing. But if all the shots are nice but there's no story behind it, then still no one cares about
right.
it, right? It's just pretty. And what I love about that particular shot, unfortunately, in that case, well, that scene actually is that the acting, which actually, as Marcus said earlier, also like I saw on the day, I was like, oh, that's nice acting. And I kind of felt for her as an actress, or like as the character, not an actress, while filming it, which I find is a really nice thing. In terms of filming something and be like, oh shit, like I'm actually making something that is kind of fake but feels real,
right?
And you're looking at their screen standing there, obviously, you know, there are like 8 people around you, or 10 in that case, but it feels real even though you know that it isn't. And that's what I also love about filmmaking anyway. So and that sequence is, for me, just I don't know. I really liked her acting. And then additionally to that, like everything kind of just fell into place. I didn't really realize that on the day, but looking at it afterwards, it was the sun was just setting. Since we were shooting in the forest, the sun was like shooting through tree branches. So behind her, you have really nice stripes of light on the floor. And her light is also really, really nice. I actually don't remember whether we used a reflector on her or not to kind of give her more light, but like that whole image is just really, really nice. And that was one of those instances where just everything fell into place to be that shot. The acting was amazing, the focus worked out, which yeah.
Is that the most exciting part about filmmaking, is getting that perfect shot, that perfect take, that perfect, you know, light?
Yeah, but the funny thing for me, at least in that case, was that I didn't realize it while we're doing it. I did realize the acting part, but only afterwards I realized, oh, that was actually like, that was fucking amazing. And thinking about it now, I was like, yeah, I maybe I should have enjoyed it a bit more, like this moment, or like realized more of the bigger picture, because I had so many things in my head. I think that's why I didn't realize it at the point. But yeah, that's kind of my favorite point in the video, and the favorite point in making it. It's very nerdy, but we were talking about filters and how we want the whole thing to be very dreamlike. And one thing that I've wanted to do for ages now is a method you can do. They've done it over and over again in several movies, in Atonement, Phantom of the Opera, is that you use a velvet stocking that you put behind the lens.
Ooh, okay.
What that does, yeah, I talked to Parker a lot about it, and Marcus obviously as well. If you put a velvet stocking behind the lens, you get like really nice halos about around highlights.
Really?
So like if you have the sun in the background, it just gives a really weird, but it's a halo that also has some color in it. It's an odd thing, but it's really nice. And also it gives the whole thing some color, some its own vibe. So with the lenses that we were using, I did a lot of testing there actually. And with the lenses we were using, we couldn't put it behind the lens. Mm. So I tried to put it in front of the lens. I bought loads of different like small pieces of fabric to then put in front of the lens, where the effect is a lot more if you put it in front of the lens than comparison to the background, because just because the lens itself is like the surface is smaller in the back,
right?
Kind of like that, and the surface is this size if you have it in front of the lens. Please stop me if I'm talking too much about this.
No. I mean, I'm just so curious about, so like the most important for you was more visually, right? The process of creating something visually, like putting different filters.
Yeah, no, so I'm just getting there, okay. Actually. So I did a lot of testing and I wanted to put filters in front of the lens, uh-huh. And it didn't work.
You're like, fuck.
Because we got weird, like I used a like a fishnet kind of thing to put in front of the lens to get less of an effect than if I just used the stocking, because it was too much of an effect if I used the stocking.
Okay.
So I did that, but you could kind of see the fishnet if it went to a specific T-stop, so the aperture, or went over a specific number. So we kind of saw it in brighter areas. So we couldn't do it. And then that was like a week before the shoot. I was like, oh shit, like that was such a key thing to use in the visual story to make it dreamlike and even film-like, because highlights would bleed into darker areas a bit. I don't know whether any of that makes sense.
No, I could just tell how passionate you are with filters. You just like...
So I was thinking about like, what can I do? Like, what could we do?
Right.
And that is now my favorite part, is I think it was 11 o'clock at night or something. And we were also using a different set of filters. I was like, ah, we could use those, but it's not as nice. And it's also, I don't know, I like the idea of having a DIY solution to it. And what it then came up with in the middle of the night, and I tested it out in my living room, and I was so excited about it. I was like, geez, how, like what that works was I used a piece of glass that I had cut out beforehand that is filter sized, and I sprayed dulling spray onto it in a bit of distance.
Dulling spray
is this, actually.
What is that?
Which is spray that you use in motion picture or photography,
okay,
for reflective surfaces. So if you're shooting something and I know you have a car in the background and it just reflects too much and it gives you too much of a highlight,
okay,
then you can put dulling spray on top of it and it just makes it dull and therefore you have less reflection there. And since it is for motion picture, it won't ruin any surfaces. You can easily wipe it off and clean it off with water. So what I did then is just I took the filter and sprayed it kind of above it, not directly on the filter.
Right.
What I got there is like tiny drops of black onto that filter. And that's what we ended up using.
Really? After all that, it just trial and error. You're like, okay, fuck it. We'll just use
this. Yeah. And then I was like, you know what? We could do this because the other filter we used is Black Promist, which, and I've had that thought before where I just looked and it's like, it just helps. Black dots on it. It's obviously a lot more scientific and it's by Tiffin, which is an amazing company who make filters. And with that, it's just the DIY solution for it. And you can really easily even change how much effect you want to have, because you just do it again and spray a bit more of it onto it. And that's, yeah. And then we have a bit more halo on doing the first and the second part, mm-hmm, compared to the last one, because with the last one you use a different filter,
right? And so for this one it was,
but yeah, so my favorite part was just finding out like, oh, like after doing like so much prep for something completely different, find out that doesn't work. I had a massive breakdown, or not breakdown, uh-huh, but like an issue was like, what am I gonna do? And then just finding 11 o'clock being like, you know what, I could do this random thing, and it just worked.
All I gotta say is, Coco, I just admire how passionate you are when it comes to filters. Because I,
yeah, that was a bit long. Sorry.
No, it's all.
I'm so glad. Good.
No, I could say I'm probably as passionate as that with compressors, with you, yeah, how you are with filters. So I get the whole nerdiness, and I appreciate that. At least you're passionate about it. You could have been like, yeah, we do a filter, whatever. You know, you had great detail to it, so. That's awesome, bro. What were you going to say, Parker?
I was going to, well, first, I might have to have a separate conversation with you about compressors.
Yes, sir.
I love that stuff. But I was going to say, I'm so glad we're doing this like little behind the scenes thing, because like this is just like how Coco is like all the time. And I only get to see him for like a week, and like it was just awesome. Like always energetic. Very everyone's Marcus is very detail oriented too, just all in our own ways. But there was one funny story. We came back from like I don't know where, but I was staying at Marcus's, which is where the thing was shot at the end. That's the hallway.
The sink area with the hallway and on the sink everything that was shot at your place, Marcus.
Yeah.
Wow.
I have a knife.
Yeah. Which is cool. I don't know if I was supposed to say that.
Yeah.
But and it was like 11 p.m. and I was at this thrift store a while back, and I got some posters for Marcus and some little lenses for Coco, just as kind of like I have these like here. And we literally spent like 2 hours going through like what kind of lenses they were.
Really?
Like, oh, the variable polarizer lens. Like, how they usually don't like come like this. And it was like till like 1 a.m. And it was so funny because Marcus was just getting ready for like, all right, let's buckle in. We're about to get a physics lesson. And it was great. It was so much fun. But I'm so glad this is out there now.
Well, it was funny. Hopefully the audience could see, you know, with the video portion of it. But when Coco was describing it, I just see Parker laughing on the side, because I know you're like, man, like this is what we're having conversations of for like up till 1 a.m. just about filters and stuff like that. But it's I think I admire that, because at least you're passionate about what the fuck you do. It's not like you're, you know, you could care less, because there's some people that will put no effort into it, right? And you can see the music video comes out shit, or the music production comes out shit. Basic. But I just gotta say, you guys, it's really, really great to talk to you guys today, because it just reminds me of how passionate people can be with their, you know, with their hobbies or their careers. And it's really great. It's really inspirational too, especially from you, Parker, in the sense of being able to let people have or be able to paint the picture of one of your songs, because it's very intimate when it comes to that sense.
It is kind of tricky to let someone like have your baby, but these guys work so hard, like I don't even know all of it, and they've told me so much about the shooting day. I mean, Marcus was like sick for a week afterward, just from like working on it so much. He's like exhausted himself. I mean, the casting was great. I mean, Imogen and Harry are like killer actresses. Just like the narrative, all the notes Marcus sent me, from like narrative to shot and scene. And he was trying to break it down because I've never done anything like this. Mm-hmm. And I work on visuals and stuff, but nothing to this level. So he was like breaking it down for me, right, and trying to get me on the same page. So I mean, it wouldn't happen without these guys, and on a really tight budget for what they were trying to do. So I mean, it's all credit to them, honestly.
Yeah, and honestly, that's the one thing I credit Marcus for. For a low budget, ultra low budget, he can make crazy shit happen, and it's great, guys. So For Marcy is out. Is it out everywhere? Out platforms, Spotify, and all that.
Yep, out everywhere.
Okay. Well, everybody check it out. It was fucking great talking to you guys. Appreciate you guys' time. All right, guys. Thanks for sticking around and watching that interview. It was such a great time, you know, chopping it up with them. It was great. Just, you know, Coco's passion about filters, and, you know, Parker talking about more of what was going with the song, and how it came up, and even Marcus talking about his favorite moments of, you know, making the music video. So tune in to more. I'm gonna do more interviews. Subscribe to the Patreon so you can hear, you know, watching all behind the scenes, because there will be some after interviews, if that makes sense. So like when I construct these interviews, I kind of just get like the basics of it, but then afterwards we kind of have like another like more relaxed and, you know, chill back and just kind of even chop it up. So what I've been doing with these interviews is just been you know, editing like the portion of it, and then all the little goodies afterwards I just kind of put it up on Patreon. So, and it's only $1. It's super, super, super affordable, and I just try to make it affordable for you guys. And also I have, you know, sample packs up there, beats up there on my website, and yeah, just tune in. I'm gonna do more breakdown videos as well, and so I just can't wait to what's going on in the future. So until then, I'll see you guys in the next one.